Hello and welcome. My name is Ruby. I am the founder of Healing Wounds Together, a platform for female adults who have experienced childhood sexual abuse. Recently, I have been really fascinated by how our abuse impacts our partners. And this research and this question has sent me speaking to many male partners as well as sent a survey. And today I have been very lucky to have Zach with me. I will let him introduce himself and then we'll get further into how abuse impacts relationships, what do people do about it, and how do their lives change as a result. So here's Zach.
Thank you, Ruby. My name's Zach. I'm a free-spirited man, and I've traveled the world. I've interacted with various cultures, races, and people, and just human beings. And I've accepted everyone for who they are.
That's brilliant, and I'm really honored that you are willing to share, and I honor you for your courage to be able to say those things. So would you like to just share just a little bit about how did you meet her and how long did the relationship last?
Thank you, Ruby, for your kind words. It's sexual abuse is actually a real issue. It's actually in our lives, and all of us have been touched directly or indirectly by incidents that have happened in the past in the general community and in our personal lives. In terms of the sexual abuse experienced by my partner, it was by a family member, and it actually betrayed trust. The very purpose of the family to keep people safe, and that line was crossed. Unfortunately, it's taken its toll, and it's actually destroyed a human being.
So I actually want to go back to the start. How did you guys meet?
We met on a poly dating website, and that was about 2.5 years ago.
Nice. So what did you like about her? How did she seem? And was there a spark, I must say?
Well, I don't believe in chemistry. I just thought she was just a simple person. Was very normal, down to earth. And that's the way it started. So there was no six-pack or physical attraction involved in the meeting up. That's correct.
Nice. So how long did you guys, did you guys ever live together?
No, we stayed separately. And I think it was good because it gave us freedom. At the same time, it also helped us in other facets of life as well. So because I was working and also distance, in terms of distance, so it was going to be an issue to stay together. That's the reason why we decided to live separately.
So did you know or did you know at the start of the relationship that she had this trauma or she had this experience?
No. I didn't ask intrusive questions, and my partner didn't tell me about the sexual abuse. But 7 months into the relationship, it was an article in the newspaper that actually triggered, and she came out and said that she was also sexually abused as a child. And I didn't ask too many questions because at that point in time, it was a bit of a shock to me. I was just trying to absorb as much as I could and just give her the time to actually come to feel comfortable talking about it, because I know it was a very confronting issue, and I didn't want to push it any further.
So that must have been quite a big shock. Did you suspect anything before you found out?
Yeah, it was basically the sexual part of it. It was like she was there, but she was actually not there. So it was just we're doing it for the sake of doing it, and I thought it wasn't normal, and that's when. But I didn't ask any questions. I just thought that's how she is by nature. But when it got to a point where she had to come out and tell me that she was, and the reason for that is because she was sexually abused, that's when I began to wonder.
So that's pretty amazing, isn't it? That for 7 months, you kind of had the sense that something wasn't right. But it took a while for both of you to start communicating. So what would you say about the level of communication in the start of the relationship, about, you know, whether you both were open, whether she was open about things that could be hard to talk about?
It's a very difficult situation because somebody who's been impacted by something as serious as sexual abuse, I don't think they're just going to open up and tell someone I've been sexually abused at the very start, because one, it's going to push other people away. So the fear of pushing other people away, the fear of not having a relationship, the fear that they're going to be probably abused or taken advantage of the second time, all plays on their mind. So different people react differently to what's happened in their lives. And I think we have to give people what you call the grieving space or the time where they can actually come forward and at in their own time or in their own way and actually express their feelings.
So then I'm really curious that for you it sounds like that if she wasn't really there in the sexual act, then I assume that you weren't really satisfied. So what made you kind of continue with her before you actually found out what was the reason behind it?
Well, I think she's a human being to start with. She's got a heartbeat, she's got a soul, and I had to respect her as a human being, and that's the reason why I continued with the relationship. Sex is just one part of the whole relationship thing, and I think at the end of the day, just because we didn't have satisfying sex or we didn't have sex the way it should have been, doesn't mean you can actually break away from a person. So I think that person's got a value, that person's got worth, and that person's got every reason to live their lives.
Sounds like you really had a soft heart for her, and you guys had good connection that actually allowed you to accept the past that weren't really so perfect.
Yeah, I think from my understanding is the past is important, but I don't think it's as important as the present or the future. We can learn lessons from the past, apply to the present and make the future better. But as I said, the past, the present, the future, they're all linked. And at some point in time, anything that's impacted someone in the past can come back to impact them in the present, and it can certainly come back to impact them in the future. So it's important that we accept people for who they are, treat them with respect, and help them to live their lives with the best we can.
Do you have your own understanding of how trauma impacts individuals?
Well, I knew about trauma and the impact of sexual abuse on human beings because I was involved with the abuse of abuse by the church on young men, especially in Ballarat, because I live quite close to Ballarat. At the end of the day, yes, there is an impact of sexual abuse, and I fully understand the trauma where it can lead to depression, can lead to suicide, could lead to mental health issues. It also can lead to withdrawing from the actual community where people live in isolation. It can also lead to low self-esteem, and people sometimes feel like the world is coming to an end. And I think it's...
So I'm curious, did your partner feel that way? Do you think she felt that way?
Yes, she would get emotional at certain points in time, like she would break down and cry, or if something which is very similar to whatever happened to her could trigger a flashback, and she would go in a very depressed state. At that point in time, it was a very difficult situation where you just had to give that person their space so that they could actually recover from that situation and then come back to how they were.
So how long generally did it take her to come back to normality after having experienced a flashback?
About 2 to 3 days. There was no medication involved in such. It was just going back to her family, just being in the safe space that she wants to be. And then when she was right, we would communicate again. So.
So how did you, or did she ask for support from you? And if she did, or how did you support her during those times?
I told her that I would always be there, and I would not break the relationship, or I would not distance myself from there. And I said, I'm always there. So if she wanted to pick up the phone to call, or if she wanted to talk, or if she wanted to meet, I will always stay. But I'm always respectful of the privacy of that person and the space they required to actually recover from the situation.
So what did she, ask for any support, or did she explain what was going on and what would make it better for her?
Yeah, she said that every time she something triggered a flashback, that she would just retreat back into her own space. She would just be on her own. She wouldn't talk to anyone, and that's the way she dealt with the issue. Because that was she then would recover in 2 to 3 days' time. When she felt comfortable, she would come out and get normal again.
So when she, let's say, took herself away from you, how did that make you feel?
Well, it made me feel sad, but also there was one part of me saying, is she okay? But over a period of time, I began to have confidence in her, because it had happened quite a few times, and it was the same outcome every single time. So I was pretty confident that she had a mechanism to deal with it.
So in a way, it sounds like that she kept her impact, or she tried to keep the impact away from you so that you're not impacted as much as possible.
Yes, and she also didn't want to didn't want other people to feel the pain, and didn't want to affect anybody else. And she made it very clear that when she actually had these flashbacks, she would rather deal with it herself and didn't want anyone else to get involved in it, because they were not there when it actually happened. They didn't experience the actual pain and suffering that she went through. So in a way, it was, I think, an individual way of dealing with the actual situation. And I was happy with, and I respected her decision.
Sounds like it's still a difficult journey for her. Do you think that she, did she seek any therapy or of any sort?
I didn't mention about therapy, but she said no amount of therapy is going to remove the pain or suffering that's inside and that I've experienced, and that will be with me till my last breath. So I didn't want to push it any further. I just respected what she said, and I said, if that's the way you want to deal with it, then that's fine.
Did you feel sad for her, and how did that impact you to know that someone is willing to accept pain as an inevitable part of their life and not do anything to change it?
Well, the pain that she actually suffers is the pain that there was nobody to defend her, and the people who were supposed to look after her and defend her were the people who actually let her down. So that pain is something that won't go away, because there are members of the family that are still around her, and it's going to be a very, very difficult process to actually overcome that.
So then I'm curious that with this, when there is a certain distance that she is keeping because she doesn't feel that anyone can truly support her, how did that impact your relationship with her after you found out? And how did this impact the sexual relationship between the two of you?
There was a lot of guilt that overcame me, because in hindsight, thinking about all the sexual times that we've had, I thought to myself, no, we shouldn't have. I shouldn't have actually proceeded with the activity. And I thought to myself, I was actually inflicting more pain and more abuse on her, even though it was consensual. But at that same point in time, since I wasn't aware of what had happened, I then started withdrawing. And I think the frequency of sex that we had was very minimal, and it was okay for me, and it didn't affect me in any way. But I was more concerned about the general well-being of my partner.
So I suppose you guys aren't together, right? So what would you say? What attributed to you guys not being together?
It wasn't the lack of sex that actually separated us. I think at the end of the day, we are still friends, but I thought to myself that she needed to get real help in order to overcome the issues that she's facing. And the only way she can do that is by seeking professional help, but she didn't want to seek professional help. And at the end of the day, it's a very difficult situation to be in, because you've got a person, my partner, who doesn't want to seek professional help, and at the same time is also caught in the past and is not wanting to let go. So,
you said that you withdrew, and it sounds like she was already withdrawing herself as well to a certain extent. So is that how slowly you guys grew apart?
Yeah, it was my conscience that actually told me that, and the guilt that was in me that, having now known that she had been a victim of sexual abuse, that I should not inflict any more abuse in any form on her, even if it's consensual. And therefore, in hindsight, I made a decision to withdraw very slowly from the relationship, but still stay friends with her. And I've always told her that I'm there to speak to, or if you want to meet, you can meet. But in part of the physical part of the relationship, I don't think there's anything on.
So, I'm feeling quite sad about this, because having experienced sexual abuse myself in my childhood and having worked through so many different therapies, I know that it's possible to break free of the triggers, and it's possible to have a fulfilling and authentic and intimate connection with the person. So I feel sad, but I'm curious, did you ever ask her, in fact, what I want to know is, do you, having known everything that you now know, do you think that you would have done anything differently?
Yes, had I known at the very beginning of the relationship that she was a victim of sexual abuse, then we would have actually gone and done what we could have done in a professional environment to minimize the impact of what had happened. But 7 months down the track was going to be, and also my partner was not wanting to seek any help, because she had a mechanism that helped her to cope temporarily to resolve the impact of the situation. But it was not a long-term solution. It's just a band-aid solution, but she didn't want to go any further. And I didn't want to push it any further by recommending or putting pressure on her to seek help, because I was not sure as to what the outcome on her as a person would be. So I just let it be.
So you guys are still friends, you say. So what is the sort of relationship that you share with her? What is the level of friendship and the communication right now?
It's more like a platonic relationship where we actually talk to each other. She shares good times and the bad times, as I said, I'm always there to help her and support her. But as in terms of actual relationship, I don't think.
So I know many adults who have experienced similar things, and they are in a relationship, and some of them face similar kind of challenges, that the sexual act and the intimacy is not there because they are afraid. Do you have any advice for them as a partner, as a male who sees things from the other perspective, because you haven't experienced it yourself?
Yes, I think we have to give everybody their space, especially people who have been impacted by very traumatic experiences. You have to give them their space and actually go with the flow, because by putting pressure on people to do things or to rectify things, just because it actually suits your need and want, is not beneficial to the whole relationship. So as long as you've got two people in a relationship, I think the two people should work together. But the person who's actually impacted should actually initiate the change and want to seek help to actually overcome the issues. So as I said, as a partner, I can be supportive, but I can't initiate that change and I can't make that change to happen. So that has to come from within the person.
But I'm really thankful, and I'm really appreciative of the sentiment that you shared today, because for me it's so much important and it's so healing to hear that there are men who are willing to support, and that sex is not be all and end all, and it's okay to work together as long as both parties are willing. So thank you so much for sharing this.
Thank you, Ruby. It's been my pleasure.